help me. I'm sick and I'm dying and I need your help. And that is the message that really resonates to me throughout the book of Mark, especially, and throughout the ministry of Jesus. We run into a lot of people who come to the Messiah knowing that he is their only hope. He's their only way of being cured. When I was a kid, I was really fascinated by snakes, and a serpent's venom acts in one of three ways. It either attacks the muscular system and starts to digest the victim before the snake eats it. It attacks your bloodstream and either coagulates the blood or makes it really thin and you bleed out. Or it attacks your nervous system. And we're all bitten with the poison of the serpent in our lives, in our way of doing things. We are inflicted with poison, which is our human nature. We're in need of healing, and this is why we come here today, is to be healed. Well, one of the things that fascinates me about healings, especially in Mark, but other books, in other Gospels, is the component of faith, the participation of the person being healed or the person asking, making the request, that Jesus requires. We read in Mark chapter 9 the requirement that Jesus says, well, if you can believe, all things are possible. And the father says, well, I believe, and he's desperate, and he says, but help my unbelief. I'm not sure how to believe. So this morning we're going to look at several different examples of people who came to Jesus and they had a specific problem, and Jesus heals them of their whatever it is. And we're going to look at the faith component of that. The first place is in Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, we have kind of two different stories intermingled together. Jairus, the ruler of the temple, comes to Jesus and he asks Jesus to come and heal his daughter. And while he's on his way, starting in verse 25, he says, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing of in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest, who touched me? And he looked round about to see that she had done this, to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said to her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. And so we see in this example that she recognized she had a problem, and she had taken all of the steps that she could on her own, and had spent her entire life savings on doctors that did her no good. And so she came to Jesus, recognizing that he was the only one that could provide her with relief. I imagine that she would have had to push her way through the crowd, that it wouldn't have been an easy task to even get close to Jesus because of the size and the pressure of the crowd. And yet she pushes her way forward, and in faith, she just touches his garment. And it's interesting that while he recognizes her faith, verse 28, she says that if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. So her faith was that Jesus was going to heal her. And he recognizes her faith, and yet she's afraid. So faith does not equal fearlessness. She believed, and yet she was fearful. She was healed before Jesus turned and talked to her. She says that, or it says that immediately the issue of blood was healed. And then Jesus turns and talks to her. And he says, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." And so Jesus reassures her, and he recognizes that it's the faith component of what she's done that has caused her to be healed. And bookending this is the story of Jairus and his daughter, and Jesus comments to Jairus when he finds out that his daughter is dead, is, "Be not afraid, only believe." And so we're exhorted here, I think, to have faith. Not necessarily fearless faith, just have faith. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 8. I think these two examples contrast very well in that the woman with the issue of blood very much viewed herself as being a servant, and very much was wanting to stay in the background and not be noticed and not be recognized. By contrast, we have a centurion who is a Gentile in Matthew chapter 8, and starting at verse 5, it says that when Jesus entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, "Lord, my servant lieth at home sick and of the palsy, grievously tormented." And Jesus saith unto him, "I will come and heal him." The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And Jesus said to the centurion, "Go thy way. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee." And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. So we have an example here of a ruler, somebody who had great authority and yet viewed himself as not worthy that the master would come into his house. He recognized that the power of Jesus to heal wasn't limited by proximity or by touch, but that all Jesus had to do was say the word and his servant would be healed. And Jesus commends him and he says, I haven't found such great faith in all of Israel. In this Gentile, he found the faith that he had hoped that the children of Israel would have. And so he says to him, as thou hast believed, be it done unto thee. Just a couple of chapters later in Matthew chapter 15, we have a picture of another Gentile. And this time, Jesus is hesitant to heal the or to fulfill the request of this Gentile lady. In verse 21, he departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. And he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, but the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. I think this lady shows a really good understanding of Scripture and recognizes that Jesus is the Son of David. And by declaring him to be the Son of David, declares him to be a king. And recognizes that she as a Gentile isn't by right allowed to have access to salvation, and yet by faith she is. And so she recognizes that it's her as a dog or as a Gentile is allowed to eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table, and that the power of Jesus to heal, even if she was able to have just a small part of that, would be such a complete healing that that she was willing to accept whatever he had. And so he says, great is thy faith, be it unto you as thou wilt. And so again, that faith component of the healing. Let's go back to Mark chapter 10. And this time we have Bartimaeus, who was a blind man. Mark chapter 10 at verse 46. They came to Jericho, and he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more, a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said to him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. So, Bartimaeus recognizes Jesus as the son of David, yet again, and recognizes him as the Messiah, the one who should sit on David's throne. And no matter how much the crowd would like to silence him, he will not be silenced. He cries out more and more to Jesus, the son of David, to have mercy on him. When Jesus calls him, he gets up and he casts away his garments and he goes, demonstrating that he believed that when he returned, he would have his sight, because otherwise he wouldn't have been able to find his garments. It's interesting that Jesus asks him what he wants. A blind man coming to him and looking to have mercy shown to him, Jesus says, "Well, what do you want?" And he says, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And again, he says, "Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." And so he asks the blind man to put into words what his request is. And in each of the examples, the people that were asking of Jesus had to put into words their specific request. Finally, we'll go back to Mark chapter 9, the reading that we had this morning. Because I think this is where we find ourselves most of the time, or at least I'm not trying to project my situation on you, but at least where I find myself most of the time. We've had the example of the lady who was strong in faith and yet fearful, who goes up behind Jesus and touches his garment. We have the ruler who recognizes the authority and the power of Jesus that's not limited by him touching anybody. We have the example of the Gentile woman who knows that even the least of Jesus' gifts would satisfy her. And we saw blind Bartimaeus, who with confidence was able to throw off his garments, knowing that he'd be able to go back and get them and be able to see them. And yet, where I find myself is more hesitant than that. In Mark chapter 9, at verse 23, or actually 22, the father's desperate, and he says, "And oft times it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." The ESV actually renders it slightly different. It says that Jesus asked the father, "How long has this been happening?" And he said, from childhood. "And it has often cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus' response here, it says, "And Jesus said unto him, if you can," like almost a statement of surprise. What do you mean, if you can? All things are possible to him that believes. And immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe, help thou my unbelief." So Jesus immediately heals the child, and he's completely cured. So each example we've looked at is unique. Each participant was seeking help, and they had to ask. They had to articulate what their need was. And Jesus required them to believe. Each was completely healed, and no matter what their faith, what their level of faith was, the healing was complete. So Jesus says, your faith has made you whole, or be it done according to your faith. And yet every one of them was completely healed, which is encouraging to me because it means that our Messiah makes up the difference. That even if we are weak in faith, he is able to heal us, and he is able to make the difference between our unbelief and his ability to heal. Jesus says to Martha when he's talking to her at Lazarus' grave, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whatsoever whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? So, we come each week to the table of our Lord. We come as sick and dying creatures. We've been poisoned with fleshly thinking, and it courses through our body, and we are dying. We desperately need our Master's healing power. And what he asks of us is that we believe, that we articulate our problem. And each of us comes with different problems, different struggles, but we need to articulate our problem. We need to believe, and he makes up the difference. John 3, verses 14 to 19, Jesus makes this connection with the serpent in the wilderness. And he says that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And so we have this wonderful connection of Jesus and the incident with the serpents in the wilderness. And that's the kind of the picture that I want to leave you with. We have been inflicted by this horrible condition. In Hebrews chapter 10, we're told to have confidence when we come before the table of the Lord. In chapter 10, verse 19, it says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, with full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching.